This is a little bit of an experiment. This is Baxter. Baxter, wait. 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 That's his favorite thing. It's a milk bone. But we're talking about living with an untroubled heart. And I want to talk to you today about this command of Jesus. If you love me, obey my commands. Baxter is obeying my commands. All right, Baxter, eat that. Eat that. There you go. Good job. Here's another one. Here's another one. Over there, boy. Over there. I want to get into this whole issue of obedience, and so I thought I would have Baxter give me a little help at the start of it, because he's quite good at doing that. He will wait until I say eat, and then he will eat. And a lot of people, when they think about obedience, they think about something like training a dog. You know, what we're after with the dog is compliance, just obey the rule. Don't really know what's going on in their heart. Although, even with creatures like that, we get a little bit of a sense of it. But often, when people hear the word obedience, they think compliance, and it doesn't seem to be something that would be terribly joyful. It's interesting, in our day, nobody has a bumper sticker that says, "My child is the most obedient child at Alpine Elementary School." We don't think too much of it anymore because we tend to interpret it or reflect on it in ways that are pretty superficial or pretty mechanical. Baxter is now eating milk bone number two. So it's real important to understand the connection between an obedient spirit and an untroubled heart. So I want to reflect a little bit on what Jesus teaches and then talk about that. And then the invitation for you today will be today, do one thing because Jesus commanded it and live with an untroubled heart. This is John chapter 14, as Jesus is saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust God, trust also me." Now, what does it mean to trust Jesus? Well, it doesn't mean to just trust he made an arrangement to get you into heaven when he died. It means trust that he's right. Right about what? Right about whatever he says. And if I actually trust that my doctor or my coach or my mechanic, if I actually trust them, then when they tell me to do something, I'll do it. Not grudgingly, but because I'm so grateful to have illumination into the nature of reality so that I can align my life with it. And that is obedience to Jesus. So he says in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commands." And then not only does Jesus say it there, but through this passage we're looking at, John 14 and 15, life with an untroubled heart in a troubled world. And what a different world we would live in if the people in it were obedient to Jesus' commands in his spirit. He goes on in the same passage to say, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Or a couple of verses later, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." Or then in chapter 15, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Now, what Jesus is looking for here, what we're actually looking for with people, the essential idea of obedience is simply that I place what I value above what I happen to desire. To obey Jesus means that instead of putting my ego on the throne or my will on the throne or wanting to have my agenda done, I say, no, I recognize that there are great goods in this universe and I want to place my life in service of them. So it is something that we do with our whole heart. If you're not obeying the speed limit and a policeman stops you, that law enforcement person doesn't really care what's going on in your heart. It's just, no, you got to drive under the speed limit. With God, it's very, very different. This is an issue of the heart. It is wholehearted obedience. It is not legalism. It's very interesting when we think about what is it that Jesus commands when he says, "If you love me, keep my commands." What is his central command? And he's very clear. We're moving towards this in chapter 15. My commandment is this: love one another. This is his basic command. Love God, love people. When Dallas Willard talks about the obedient life as Jesus understands it, he talks about how it's very interesting. When churches split, it will generally be over kind of legalistic issues. How do you perform this or that action? Or what do you think about this or that relatively minor belief? You never see churches splitting over love. You never see a group of people saying, "Now we don't want to love. We're going to start the church of anti-love." Or here's other great statements in this passage. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. You never see a church splitting with that one saying, no, we want to be the anxious church. There's a movie, Cold Comfort Farm, and there's a sect in it. It's a made-up group, but they call themselves the Quivering Brethren, and they have a little sign in their church about how God is bringing fire to destroy everybody and everything. The world will burn, but we will quiver. Well, there are not the Quivering Brethren. Jesus says, I've spoken these things that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. And there's not churches that split off and say, no, we want to be the misery church. We're not in the joy. See, the central commands that Jesus gives are not legalistic, nitpicky, arbitrary, rules of the road kinds of things. So we have to get out of our minds that misguided notion of obedience, because then we will never aspire to it. What he is looking for is wholehearted, initiative-taking, creative, risky, courageous, joyful giving of ourselves to what we know to be good and true, to be loving persons and peace-filled persons and joy-filled persons. So how do we pursue that? And I want to offer you a few words today from a wonderful little book by Alan Jacobs called Breaking Bread with the Dead, where he talks about seeking wisdom from great thinkers and great writers. Alan is a professor of, I think it's literature at Baylor. Wonderful, wonderful writer. Again, we're walking together through the untroubled heart in a troubled world. And today, seeking to obey everything Jesus commanded. Jacob says, sometimes I teach old books to young people. Recently, I was teaching the epistles of the Roman poet Horace to a group of undergraduates. For many centuries, there were few authors more widely read than Horace. Though to be fair, most of the readers were boys forced to translate him from Latin when they would far rather have been playing some kind of ball game. And Jacobs goes on to talk about trying to interest modern students in Horace, and it was a little bit of a struggle until it got to one of his epistles addressed to a Lollius Maximus, in which Horace wonders how one might acquire a tranquil mind. Who does not need a tranquil mind? See, when Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled in a troubled world, in a troubled moment where he's about to die, he's addressing something real deep that all human beings have been searching for. And Jacobs writes about how when he's teaching his students, one of the ways that he can tell they need a tranquil mind is in those moments when they have to put down their cell phones and they get twitchy, he says. He'll sometimes give them a pop quiz just to make sure that the cell phones are down. But he noticed when they're taking the quiz, he starts getting antsy and twitchy for his own cell phone. And so he says, this twitchiness, now again, this is Jesus, one of the pathways to an untroubled heart is full, surrendered, joyful obedience to his command. Because see, when I don't obey that which is good, when I place my desires, I want my will to be done above being the kind of person I know God wants me to be, my conscience will trouble me. I will have a troubled heart, and it will not be the world's fault. There's an old, old song. Nobody listened to this is old enough to know, but I kind of grew up with it. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And of course, obedience is not something we add on to trust. When you trust somebody, you obey them because you think that they're right about stuff. This twitchiness, Jacobs writes, that constant low-level anxiety at being communicatively unstimulated. Say that again. That constant low-level anxiety, is that present in you right now, at being communicatively unstimulated, seems so normal now that we may be slightly disconcerted when it's absent. That's why a tweet by Jason Gay, a writer for the Wall Street Journal, went viral a couple of years ago. Here's the tweet. There's a guy in this coffee shop sitting at a table, not on his phone, not on a laptop, just drinking coffee like a psychopath. A man not justifying his existence through constant work or being connected, what could that be but psychopathy? So, here's the invitation today. Be a part of that ancient pursuit. Jacobs talks about how Horace says, interrogate wise writers about the way to a tranquil mind. And it will not be found in greed, and it will not be found in distraction. And Jesus tells us where it'll be found. It will be found in Him. And not just the realization of His love, although that's part of it, but actually doing what He says to do. So today, as you and I are on the journey of an untroubled mind, pause right now. Scale of 1 to 10, how much trouble is there in your outer world? Scale of 1 to 10, how much peace is there in my heart today? And then I let go of the trouble. Only 10 minutes worth of news today, because it'll try to stir you up unless you got to have it for some other reason. But begin to talk to Jesus now. Seek in Him the gift of a tranquil mind, of an untroubled heart, and say, as best I can as I walk through this day, I will obey Him. Not a mechanical, white-knuckling, gotta grind it out, I have to obey this rule even though I don't like it. No, no, no. How can I love? Even just giving a milk bone to a dog can be a gift of love and a little act of caring for God's creation, because, you know, God loves dogs too. He even loves cats. As you go through this day, whoever you're with, the great command of Jesus is love. And when we seek to be obedient, we seek to be the kind of people who become easily and routinely loving. I was with my pal Steve this last week and talking about just how his generous spirit is so clear to other people. And he was saying, no, it's not that. It's just that I'm naturally a coach and I want the team to win. And, you know, goodness always looks that way. It never looks like something that is extraordinary or unusual or something that anybody that's sane would not do. That's just the nature of goodness. So today, easy routine obedience to Jesus. Love with a tranquil mind and an untroubled heart.
Hey, before you click off, be sure to hit that subscribe button here, and that will help us reach more people with our channel. You can also visit becomenew.com, where you might want to subscribe to our email or text. We'll give you more information and resources for each episode. Become New is so much more than just a video to watch. It's really a community that you can belong to. So we hope that you'll chime in the comments here below. We read those every day. You might want to consider joining our Facebook group. In fact, during this series, I'm going to post a video posing a question related to the content for each day. And I would love to hear your answer. So join that group to chime in and join the community. You can also find the links to our Instagram and X in the description in case you want to receive inspirational quotes and images throughout the week. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So don't carry that burden alone. We would love to come alongside you and pray with you. You can text your request to the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember that the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll catch you next time.